Wintry sunlight woke her. It shone through the gap in the curtains where the heavy brocade had caught against the dressing table mirror. She kicked off the bedclothes and stretched luxuriously in the artificially created warmth. At last, she thought, at last. This was class. Her fingers lingered lovingly on the expensive sheets, and her eyes swept the room, darting from the richly coloured Turkish carpet to the Queen Anne armchair, fixing finally and greedily on the ornate ormolu clock on the mantelpiece. 8:30. She slid off the bed and into her dressing gown. What had his mother said last night? Come down to breakfast when you're ready, dear. We're very casual here. Domestic sounds drifted up to her. The clatter of plates, a door banging, water running, and a snatch of a song. The girl hummed to herself as she washed and dressed. When she went downstairs, only his mother was up. She smiled at the girl, and the girl remembered that the snatch of the song had been, "Will you walk into my parlour?" said the spider to the fly. "Good morning, dear," his mother said. "You're very early." She was laying spode breakfast cups on the scrubbed deal table in the kitchen. The girl's smile was charming, her intonation controlled. "Good morning, Mrs. Milchett. Must be habit, I suppose, getting up for work every day. I find it difficult to sleep after 8:00. His mother was very good-looking. She could see now where Julian got his eyes and mouth from. "I'm sorry we were so late last night. I expect Julian explained what happened, that we had a puncture." She had heard him explaining in detail, too much detail, she had thought. He had left his mother's bedroom door open, and their voices had kept her awake. Mrs. Milchett nodded, but without much interest. "He did say something, yes." She paused, a fork held questioningly in the air, as though she were wondering what it was for. "Julian does mutter so, or perhaps I'm going deaf." She waved the fork in the general direction of her ear. "I'm sure he's told us what you do, dear, but for the moment I can't quite recall what it is." The girl's smile became fixed. "Can I do anything to help?" she asked brightly. "Perfectly sweet of you, but no, thank you. Too many cooks, you know." Mrs. Milchett arranged napkins on the side plates. "You're extraordinarily pretty, of course. You're a model, are you?" The girl wondered whether modelling was acceptable, but had her doubts. "No, I see." His mother poked at a napkin which had collapsed on its plate. "You're an actress." The girl had her doubts about actresses, too. "I'm a civil servant." One eyebrow arched theatrically as Mrs. Milchett turned round. "A civil servant?" She rolled the words round her mouth like an untried wine. "You work for the government?" It was an accusation. "Yes." "How interesting." "Well, yes, it is," she said defensively. "How?" The girl longed for a cigarette, but Julian's mother didn't approve of women who smoked. "Meeting people," she said lamely. "I meet some very interesting people in my job." His mother's lip curled. "I can imagine. Yes, I can imagine you might meet some very interesting people." She turned to the spotless working surface behind her, where some eggs and bacon awaited her attention. The girl glared at the unseeing back. She recognized sarcasm, but rarely understood it. "I met Julian there." "Did you, dear? How nice of you." Fat sizzled as Mrs. Milchett slid bacon rashers into the pan. The girl had nothing to say. His mother looked at her with sparkling eyes, and the girl was reminded of dew on a spider's web. "Colonel Milchett and I delighted you could come down this weekend. We've been looking forward to meeting you." The girl warmed to her. It was only a matter of time, she told herself, of getting to know her. "It was kind of you to ask me. Julian's been talking about it for ages." "Sweet boy. Do sit down, dear. I always put Julian's girlfriends in that chair, there, by the window." She pointed to a chair. "I can't think why, really. Habit, I suppose." Her teeth gleamed pearly white as she spoke. The girl sat down, feeling in her bag for her cigarettes. She took one out and lit it, dropping the burnt match onto a spode saucer. "Habits," she mused, exhaling into the tangy, bacon-smelling air. "Such difficult things to break." They had drinks before lunch with some people who lived in the neighbouring village. Julian's mother introduced her as a little friend of my son's from London. Julian escaped from the confinement of his mother's possessive arm and made a beeline for a group of young people by the window. Colonel Milchard, who had been drinking whiskey since 10:30, took up a position by the drinks trolley and resisted all attempts to prise him away from it. "So you are Julian's little friend?" The girl looked at the large woman with a double strand of pearls bouncing on her boisterous bosom, and she gripped her gin and tonic tightly. "Yes, such a nice boy," the woman said vaguely, as though she wasn't quite sure whom they were talking about. "He went to school with my eldest. They used to be great chums, but they don't see much of each other now. Money disagreement, I believe. You live in London?" "Yes, we lived in London before the war. We had a flat there and a house in the country. My husband said it was the only way to live, like buying the Times and the Daily Mirror every day. Do your parents live in the country?" The girl was still puzzling over the analogy. She shook her head. "Such a pity for you. So nice to get away, don't you think?" "Yes, of course you do." She stared over the girl's shoulder and lifted her glass coyly in someone's direction. "Jerry, what a lovely surprise. Must be a month." Her words absorbed themselves into the general hubbub of conversation, and she sailed away. "But, darling, he's a wonderful MFH. I've seen him lead a whole field over an impossible fence. He's got a... what's the word? Begins with an S. Charisma? That's it. Wonderful man." The girl finished her gin and had another one thrust into her hand. She looked round wildly and saw his mother through a gap in the indifferent crowd. She felt a rush of affection for the familiar face and pushed her way towards it. "Oh, there you are, dear. Is Julian looking after you properly?" "I don't know where he is," she whispered, agonized. "He went off to talk with some friends." "Sweet boy. Too popular. That's his trouble." She touched the arm of an elderly man standing beside her. "Jack, I'd like you to meet a little friend of Julian's from London." The man glanced briefly in her direction before resuming his concentrated study of the other people in the room. "How do you do?" he mumbled, and she wasn't sure whether he was addressing her or someone else altogether. Julian's mother had disappeared again. "Very well, thank you." She finished her second gin and welcomed the third that was pushed into her hand. "Nice boy, Julian. Owes me some money there. Promised him I wouldn't tell his mother, but a debt's a debt. Lent it him because he was friendly with my son." "Did you?" she said politely. "Must tackle him about it. His mother says his business is doing well." He lowered his voice confidentially. "Good little woman, but secretive. No details." He was studying the crowd of heads still, and seemed to receive the signal he had been waiting for. "Excuse me, young lady, have to go." She finished her gin thoughtfully and accepted a fourth from the unknown hand. She was hemmed in now. Julian's mother was nowhere to be seen. His father stood unsteadily by the drinks trolley, raising his glass occasionally as though in toast to someone only he could see. The woman with the boisterous bosom had trapped a small man in a corner. The air was thick with cigar smoke and the sweet smell of whiskey and gin. Conversations droned on all sides. "You know, I'm not one to boast of my own, but Penny has grown into a positive beauty. The photographer from the Tatler was falling over himself to get a picture of her at the Debenhams' do. I must watch out for it." "Well, no, I shouldn't bother. Some wretched girl kept getting in the way, so he took a picture of her instead. Of course, anyone could see that he was livid about not getting Penny, but..." Julian brought her a glass of wine. He removed the empty gin glass and put it on a nearby table. "Enjoying yourself?" he asked. She drank the wine, looking at him over the rim of the glass. He was different somehow, more confident, more assertive. "He belongs," she thought. His mother smiled at her through his eyes and mouth. "Mum thought you might be a little overwhelmed by it all, so she sent me to rescue you." He nodded perfunctorily to someone behind her, and she hated him for his ill-mannered arrogance. She knew he couldn't afford it. "I'm finding it all very interesting," she assured him. That's Mum's favourite expression. "Oh, how nice, dear." She accepted another glass of gin and put her empty wine glass on the tray. He looked at her suspiciously. "Perhaps you shouldn't have any more to drink." She cradled the glass against her chest and swayed gracefully from side to side, smiling at him slyly. "Tell me about your business, Julian. That person over there will be pleased you have one." She waved her glass hazardously in the direction of the woman with the bosom. "She thinks you and her eldest have had a disagreement over money." His face became sullen and he was a boy again, unsure of himself, rather pathetic. "Don't be an idiot." She wagged a finger at him. Naughty, naughty. You shouldn't say things like that. Not to me, anyway. He looked round furtively to see if anyone was listening. What do you want? She laid a hand on his arm. I want to know about your business. He ran nervous fingers through his hair and cast more covert glances at those around them. His mother materialized at his side. Hello, dear, she said to the girl. I think it's time we were going. The girl smiled conspiratorially. You're a good woman, but secretive. I'm secretive too, so is Julian. No one knows except us, do they? And Julian didn't know you knew. I think it's nice you're telling everyone that he's in the business. Yes, dear, very nice, and don't shout. My mother always said it was unbecoming in a lady. She smoothed Julian's jacket at the back and patted it round the waist. Where's the colonel?
By the drinks trolley, said the girl in a piercing whisper. He's been there since we arrived.
Several pairs of eyes turned towards the trolley. Colonel Milchard raised a full tumbler of whiskey in salute and drank the liquid down, slowly and steadily, like lemon squash. Darling, his wife called merrily, linking her arm with her son's. We're just off, coming? He nodded, placed his glass on the trolley with two hands, and walked carefully towards them. He peered down at the girl. I've seen you before, he said amiably. You're Julian's friend.
Yes, she slipped her arm through his. We haven't had a chance to talk yet, have we? Julian and I were late last night. We said we had a puncture, but it wasn't true.
She giggled and gave his arm an affectionate squeeze.
He locked himself in his flat and was too afraid to come out. That's what really happened. There was this man, you see, who says Julian owes him money. Julian's irresponsible. You may not have realized it. He can't even get up in time on a Wednesday morning to come in and sign on.
Julian's mother tapped her playfully on the arm. That's very interesting, dear, but I really think we should be going.
Suppose you're right, the girl agreed. To be quite honest with you, I meet more interesting people in my work at the Social Security office than I've met here.
Mrs. Milchard showed her teeth in a smile and led the way out, bowing graciously to their hosts. The volume of conversation in the room was unaffected by their exit, although one or two people near the door paused to listen as the small party organized itself in the hall. Did you bring a coat, dear?
Yes, this one.
Of course. Simulated leather. I should have guessed.
Darling, will you help Julian's little friend on with her coat? I do have a name, you know.
Do you, dear? How nice.